NRP S2 E13 WordPress. And welcome to today's episode. Today we're going to be talking about WordPress. Now, why WordPress? Well, I'm talking about it because I found it to be one of the most flexible and most customizable and growingly one of the more easier platforms to be using. Also, for somebody just starting out, you know, it does all the heavy lifting for you. You install the site and the structure is already there. Then you just use it. It's a CMS, a content management system. And there are other options out there, of course, but let's discuss why WordPress. Well, it has the 12-minute install. I'll link you to a video of people setting up a basic site and getting up and running in less than 12 minutes. You just enter the information of what MSQL database you want to use, what's the name of the site, and some basic information, and let it do its thing. It's really easy. There's also customization. With WordPress, you can not only make a blog site, quite obviously, but you can also make a video portal, you can make a job posting board, you can make a forum, you can make a social media site that's a clone of MySpace or Facebook, a lot of these different sites. You can make want ads postings, you can make a portfolio of your work for potential clients, you can make just an online business card, you can design all kinds of things. WordPress customization has really come a long way, and also it's open source, so the code is out there. It's easy to get a hold of. It's regularly updated for security reasons because it also is one of the most popular, so it's going to get constantly attacked. And I'll be talking about security in a minute, but it's open source. It's a free system to use, and it's free to make money on. There are people that make themes and plugins for WordPress that aren't, you know, associated with Automattic, the company that makes it, and everyone's fine with that. So, things to consider when installing WordPress. Now, if you're going to install WordPress, a word to the wise is set up a testing environment. What this means is you install a program on your computer like WAMP, if you're on a Windows machine, or MAMP on a Mac, and it'll simulate having your own server on your machine. It'll run databases, it'll run Apache, it'll run all that stuff, and you install WordPress on it just like you would on an actual server. Now, why would you do this? Well, it's a lot faster to test things when you don't have to wait and wait for something. You know, I mean, how many times has this happened to you? You upload a picture to a site to use as your avatar for something, and you've got to wait for it to refresh, wait for the system to all do this stuff. If you upload it to your local computer for testing purposes, it's right there. There is literally no wait. And a lot of bugs and update things and a lot of things that would take time on a server that sometimes just you can't hold up under the time limits and timeouts, it does a lot better locally. Also, if you totally break your local site, your local test, that's fine. In fact, go ahead, go nuts. Break your local site a few times and learn what you broke about it. Because if you're doing this on a live site, which I've done it because I was young and didn't know any better and really, really didn't know any better, and you try and run a live site, and you can break it, and then not only can nobody get into it, sometimes you can't even get into your own thing. You have to go straight to your host and just erase the whole thing, and that is not fun. And, you know, I mean, there are things that you can be doing on a live site that'll accidentally break it, and you think, oh, this is safe. How could I possibly break by upgrading this one plugin? Oh, no, I broke it. I've been there, my friend. It was not fun. There are times that you might have security flaws, and you might, like recently, Google has had a lot of big sites that they get hit by. They put ads on their sites, and then the ad network has a corrupted ad that has, you know, malware linked on it or something, and Google identifies that, and suddenly all those sites are being identified by Google as malware infected. And, you know, this is nothing on your end, and, you know, sometimes it could be a site on yours, you might have a plugin that might be infected, and you need to have a backup. I mean, it's always a good idea to back up things anyway, but having a testing environment that you can go, okay, I know this worked until this one thing that went live borked it. Let's use this again and just get rid of this plugin and we'll be fine. It's a lot better to have a pre-existing one than go, everything's on the server and I can't log into it anymore. Oh no. Things will go wrong, folks, and having a testing environment is a good thing to have. Now, another important thing to remember with a testing environment is that things will point directly to where they are on your local machine, on your local server. So when you try and upload them from your local testing site up, it's a thing to be aware of. There are ways to get around it. You know, you can import the database, you know, importing. I've done things before. You might have noticed on my website, I updated to a version of Webcomic that didn't quite automatically update like it should have. And, you know, no, it's not the developer's issue. It's my site is a Frankenstein. My sites just were developed, and then I added stuff as it came out, and I found out about it, and I probably should have gone and cleaned and redone an install of this or that, and rather than just adding on to stuff. So there's a mess of code and a mess of, you know, when you have over 900 comics over a few years, you know, big heavy posts with a lot of tags that aren't associated with anything anymore, plugins that you installed once to try out and never got around to properly deleting all their information properly. It's, you know, it happens with any big site that you keep around for a few years, and it's a good idea to do a clean install, but doing a testing environment first is the best way to do things. I mean, one thing I did when I upgraded from my version of Webcomic was I installed on a test site. I updated, because I couldn't run the update script on my actual site, but I could run it in the test environment. But then to import that, I had to basically copy that test site and put it somewhere, and then I could import the data, because when WordPress does its, you can export all the data from a WordPress site and import it into another WordPress site. But, you know, if it's going to be, if the posts include images and stuff like that, it needs a site to pull from, so I had to make another site just to dump my local site on so they could find that on the internet and pull itself in. It was a real mess. But that's the fun in testing and working things out. You figure out what you need to do to get a site running, and, you know, I don't know everything about a site, but I know what makes my site run, which is interesting. Also, things to consider when you're installing a site is security. Now, you always want to keep your site up to date. This includes plugins, themes, and versions of WordPress because, you know, like any good software that gets used on the internet, you know, PHP Bulletin Board was, you know, a very popular forum software. And that was a big problem with it was that everybody used it. So there were a lot of people who just knew how to get in through the plugins. And if it didn't, if the security, you know, if they only updated it so often, you know, WordPress is very good about whenever there's any kind of a security problem, they really unleash updates very regularly. So it's a good idea to keep up to date on it. Now, for your important plugins, like, you know, if you're running a webcomic or, you know, you're running something where there's a particular version and then a new one comes out and then you have to be afraid that's going to bork it. So anyway, another thing about security, you always want to keep your things up to date. You also want to watch anonymous comments. I'd really recommend not having comments turned on. At least, I mean, that's the thing is, when you build a website, they always tell you, oh, websites are great because people can comment. You know, and I guess, you know, on a Tumblr site or a blogger site where people are already in the system and have a blogger account, there's a little bit, I mean, well, blogger maybe not, but on Tumblr and stuff like that, if somebody has a site, you know, and they're already in the system, it's a little bit easier, you know, to allow anonymous commenting because those people are already, you know, they have to take the time out to get in it versus, you know, on your site, if somebody's on your site, there's a lot of ways to script and make spam accounts on your site. And, you know, especially with a platform like WordPress, which is very popular, anonymous comments, I don't recommend them. You know, I don't recommend them even on Tumblr. It's just, you know, making a person registered, and then even then, there's other things you might want to do to beef up security. You know, registered users have to have approved comments and stuff like that, or there's things that will capture spamming comments, and I tell you, spam on the internet, folks. It's sad, but, you know, it's out there because if it works once for anybody, of course, it costs them nothing. Of course, they're going to do it. That's just a mathematical thing. That's how life works. Anyway, also to consider when you're installing traffic. You want to watch your traffic when you set up your site, and if you're a very popular site, you want to make sure that your host needs are being met. I mean, you know, if it's like shared hosting works for a big majority of people out there, but, you know, if your site is hammered with views, you're going to be straining not just you, but other people on the server, so it's probably a good idea to have the strongest server for your particular needs, which means start out with shared, and then if you get a following, start boosting up a few levels. Caching, you know, it's a way to slow down the constant refresh, refresh, refresh. It says, well, this is what's out there, it's already there, come view that. When installing, you need to watch MySQL databases, which, you know, they're an easy enough thing. If you've ever done spreadsheets, if you've ever managed with tables and things, and, you know, I say if you're installing a WordPress site, do it a few times, you know, on a local install, test things around, because you're going to have to get used to just wiping a database, importing tables, learning your way around a system. It's good to know. Also, themes. Now, again, this comes back to security issues. Now, themes, there's a lot of free themes. There's also a lot of premium themes out there that you can pay small amounts or a whole lot for. It depends, you know, you can be buying the theme and support for it. You can be buying the theme and all kinds of different customizations with it, different things. But there's also a lot of free themes, I mean, a lot of themes that aren't free, but people put them out there as free, but then they inject their own malware codes and all kinds of bad things, and you want to use TAC, which is a theme authentication checker, which is a nice little, it's a really simple plugin, and whenever you install themes to test, because there's, you know, the WordPress database of themes, and then there's the WordPress database of themes, which are official free themes, and then of course there's places that are very responsible theme makers, like for example Woo, who are known for making good themes, free and net premium, and there's other places you can go that will give you a good free theme without a bunch of crap in it. But if you Google free WordPress themes and just have, you know, you can tell a lot by the sites that it's on. If it's named something a little bit questionable, if it's a lot of dot something else is domain dot something, you know, dot whatever, you want to always be careful what you're getting. Just like running anything on your computer, you want to be careful what you're installing, because sometimes people can hide things in code. TAC will help you figure out if a theme is genuine, if it's clean. If you try and get a theme, try and get it from the actual developer of the theme's site. But let's talk real quickly about plugins. Plugins are awesome because they can add functionality to your website. You know, a website that can run entirely, you know, WordPress, a website that can run based entirely almost on one plugin. You know, you can have a website that's all about art galleries and have it in there. Or you can have a site that runs on BuddyPress, which is a variation, you know, for doing social networking sites. And, you know, it's a suite of plugins, really, but, you know, there's plugins that'll add things like e-commerce and webcomic scripts, and there's galleries and stats and caching, of course, anti-spam, and, of course, TAC, like we talked about. And these are all things that you can get from WordPress, their plugins directory. You can also find premium plugins online, and you can also find a lot other free ones out there if they're not exactly, you know, WordPress. I recommend keeping things to the latest, you know, most up-to-date versions, but sometimes a great plugin comes along, and then that person kind of quits supporting or just doesn't have the time, or they move on to something else, and WordPress doesn't want to keep the plugin around anymore, and you're just like, well, I'm just keeping this to the bricks. And eventually the wheels will come off of something, but, you know. And real quickly, let's talk about multi-site and BuddyPress. Now, BuddyPress, as I said, social networking plugin, well, suite of plugins. Also, multi-site, I mean, you can use it if you want to try and make a social site like Ning, or, you know, another MySpace or another Facebook, or your own, you know, about your own needs, or, you know, you might have a group of people all collaborating on something. There are variations on what BuddyPress can do. You can make it, you know, I mean, even just WordPress, I think you can make your own small group Twitter, you know, a variation of that. There's a lot of things you can do with it. And multi-site is good if you're running a network of sites, even if they're not social media per se. Like, you know, the idea behind them is that each person that logs in can have their own little site, and then they can have their own little blog and all these things. And I use multi-site basically so I can manage a whole network of different sites, and they'll each have their own little dashboards, you know, they'll each have their own little dashboards, but you can go in and manage them overall, all the plugins that all the sites share, and then, you know, it's a lot easier that way. I mean, I was doing it back when managing all your own WordPress sites, you had to install each one. I mean, there was a multi-site version of WordPress at the time, but it was mostly used for, like, colleges, WordPress MU, and they recently merged the code so that really all WordPress can run multi-site now. It's just you need to enable it and tell a few things, like if you're going to use subdirectories or subdomains. And if you're going to be using multi-site for like a social networking site, you're going to want wildcard DNS, I believe. And that's the thing where if somebody registers their name, they can have their name.yoursite.com, you know, as the subdomain. And DreamHost doesn't do that, I don't believe. I don't blame them. It's kind of a questionable thing. And I mean, social networking sites, I get the idea of it. It's just, I'd kind of rather not, because that kind of opens up to, you know, having some hate group .yoursite.com. And I, yeah. So anyway, that's WordPress. It's a very nice platform. I wanted to talk about some of my problems with it because, you know, it's come a long way. You know, there's still things that you know, need work. You know, stuff like the media manager is improved a little bit. You know, when I first started using it, it's like, well, you can get plugins that'll make it a little bit easier, and just embed stuff. Just don't really bother with the media manager. Now it's actually pretty good. And then you know, now they've got things where if you make a post about something and then you want to reference that post later when you're writing up another blog, you can just say, oh, hey, reference this other site. I mean, this other post within the site. And it's come a long way, and it's still got some ways to go. I mean, the WordPress importer has gone leaps and bounds beyond what it was, and yet sometimes it can still be crap. And it's not really WordPress's fault either. It's, you know, like I said, I came from building stuff on top of stuff. Like I said, I originally started with running different sites, and then once multi-site came in, I tried to cram them all into one database, which was nice and ugly. And it's still, I know, I've also totally wiped my site and rebuilt it at least twice. I had a malware issue like some people have had with Google recently, and I've had some other problems. The thing is, when you build sites, you can, especially if you have to do a lot of planning. You know, with WordPress, you can figure out what you're going to need, and it's very easy to get up and go and start making a site. And once you realize that a site can die and you can rebuild it, and it's not the end of the world. It might be, you know, it's just a thing you need to get used to and go, okay, I can deal with having to rebuild the entire site. Right now, you know, I've rebuilt my site at least twice, probably more than that by now. The only problem with it is that it literally takes about a week to get everything installed and re-uploaded, and then going through and making sure there aren't any, you know, improper characters were in the text, or, you know, foreign characters where there should be a comma or something, you know, just simple things. And like I said, WordPress's importer for moving, you know, you can move from Blogger to WordPress, you know, they have scripts for that, and moving from one WordPress install to another for whatever reason, it's gotten leaps and bounds better. But on a server where things are a lot of moving parts, you know, that's again why it all comes back to testing environments and doing a lot of stuff locally first to figure out how to do it, and then a lot of plug and chug waiting for a server to do things on the live setup. So, but anyway, that's WordPress. That's me talking about WordPress and all my. Oh, that's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you all on the other side. More, visit NoRightsProductions.com. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/NoRights. And hey, why don't you check out my Tumblr at NoRights.tumblr.com.